It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself. And with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Well, it's been quite a week. Personally, a very draining week and a very rough week, but it's always good to be back here talking football with you again. And, well, not just football, but that's kind of the main part of what we get at here, I think. So,
right.
It's good to be talking sports. How have you been?
I've been good. I actually had a really good weekend. We got a little bit of snow down here in Janesville, and it was the wet stuff. And so we made some forts and some snowmen, and then we were blessed with like 15-degree overnight lows. So it turned all that slush snow, and we have a fort in our backyard that might be there all winter now because it is about 6 feet tall, a foot thick, and it is harder than concrete.
All right. Yeah, we don't have anything like that north of you here in central Wisconsin. We got a small dusting of snow Sunday night, but that's really all we've gotten here. So,
yeah, no, I know. We got the last of that nor'easter that came through, and it's really weird, like, because my mom was down here this weekend. She went back home up north, and, yeah, it's just a light dusting. They got nothing up way up north, and here we are in the doormat of Wisconsin, better known as Rock County. sorry, Rock County. I love you. But we got plenty of snow to go around down here. It looks nice. We're gonna have a white Christmas.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you again to everybody who is joining us. It's wonderful to have you with us again for another week of talking Wisconsin sports. Whether you're listening to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, la da 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 da, whatever it is you're listening to us on. Just please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. It helps other people find the podcast and helps keep growing the base. You know, we're being heard in Germany and Belarus and Australia. Hello. And every now and then India too, which is fun. But I won't be content until we also end up in South America and Africa, because we need to hit every continent. And we're getting close. I think we'll be in India next. You know, we'll be in, I don't know, like Egypt in a week or two.
If we were to have listeners in Antarctica, would it show up as Antarctica or maybe somewhere in South America just because of the way communications work with Antarctica?
I think it shows up as other. We do get several every week that show up as other, as if other. They can't understand where the IP might be located. And that's, yeah. So. Well, they do that.
Let's just pretend it's Antarctica then. Then all we have to do is get South Africa and
South America.
Africa and South America. I can handle that. Yeah. I know people there.
Come on, Argentina, get it together. All right. I do want to say
Argentina.
Yeah, or not. Right. I do want to say before we get started too that of course you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow the show itself at Scotty Johnny Pod. That's SconnyJonnyPod. It's not like the regular Johnny. It's Johnny like Jonathan, all right? And not some weird spelling of Jonathan, the way it's spelled in an English Bible.
With a soft H. We're not soft here.
There's no extra H. It's just the H for the TH. That's it.
No, I'm saying that you don't use the soft H.
You're right.
We're not soft.
Yeah.
That's how John is meant to be spelled, how God intended it.
Well, John is different than Jonathan. Because Jonathan is actually based on the word Nathan, not John.
Oh, my brother's name's Nathan. Yeah. Sorry, we have railed early and often.
Also, just because we haven't gotten to it in the big way here, I'll say that Aaron is available at Twitter at Cheddar Talk, and you can follow him. He is a fantastic follow, I will tell you that. I follow him, and sometimes I point out to him that his grammar is wrong or something like that.
Because... Yes, or that I'm just flat out wrong. But unless I'm egregiously wrong, as or I was today, because I don't delete my tweets. So yes,
or I just go along with whatever weird premise he's deciding to throw at us that week. Anyhow, we're going to kick everything off with what we call here our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron, we got Packers talk. We're going to start there because it's the happiest thing we've got this week in terms of Wisconsin sports, I think. Well, at least in terms of what actually happened.
Well, the red and white didn't give us anything to cheer about this weekend. I guess we better go heavy green and gold.
Yep. Cardinal and white let us down, but we're going to start here green and gold. We're going to start happy. We're going to get going with that, and we're going to say Packers get the win, sweep the Lions, and right on cue. Lions fans are the whiniest group of human beings on the face of God's earth.
Yeah, not the worst fans, but they are definitely the whiniest.
Correct. Sure. No, yeah, they follow their team. They stick with their team. They're there in all moments, but man alive, they were still out there the other day. So they're like, wouldn't be a game without there being a controversial call benefiting the Packers. I don't even know what controversial call there was. Is it the guy who had only 1 foot in bounds when he caught the ball and then stepped out of bounds?
How about the Lions drive that was fueled by five defensive penalties, like on six straight plays, five penalties in six plays? Yeah, or
it got, you know what I mean. It was massively ridiculous in that regard, in that the Packers had more penalties called against them than the Lions. They had three times the penalties called against them. I believe it was 12-4, and they had twice as many yards, as over 60-30. All right, so I mean, like, the game was definitely called in a way that benefited the Lions. The only thing that they're trying to be upset about is the replay on the non-touchdown or the non-catch that happened at the end there, where he has 2 feet on the ground. I think it's Marvin Jones. He lifts the one up, though, to catch the ball and then steps out of bounds. They're like, look at the toe tap. The toe tap happens before the ball hits his hands, and his foot doesn't go back down in bounds. It was close, but you can't watch that in any way that looks like he's caught it. Like, there's four different angles showing you his foot's off the ground when they pause it as his hand hit the ball.
Hey, I wanted to bring up something to you because I knew this. I knew we had the podcast today. You know, the day after every Packer game. What is it about that corner of the field?
that
the Packers have so many controversial calls against them. Or for them against the other team, because there's three instances I can think of. Dez Bryant being the first one. The other ones too, I can't think of who that other team is. But if you're looking at the field, like how it is on TV from left to right, it always happens in the bottom left corner.
Okay.
In that end zone, there's been a couple controversial calls in favor of the Packers in that corner. I don't know why it is, but. Maybe fade. I don't know. It's a bad theory. I'll rewind that one. I'll take that one back. But anyways, this is like a couple weeks back when we lost the Vikings, and Vikings fans were relatively quiet about the refs because the Packers got hosed by the refs and they had no room to talk, because that's what the bullets that they always have lined up to put in their gun for complaining. And of course, that's all Lions fans have.
Every year. I was putting this out on Twitter too. I was like, it's amazing how unfortunate they are with the referees that have made them be 14-30 over the last 3 years or whatever, 2.5 years. Yeah. That's managed to keep getting their coaches fired. That managed to have them fire the last coach they had, who was a winning coach. I mean, like, they last won a division title in 1993. Yeah, those refs are amazingly good at keeping the Lions out. No, the Lions have been bad. They're badly managed. They're badly run. They've been mediocre to badly coached, and it isn't the refs. It just isn't the refs. And every year they do this nonsense. Like, the number of, there's a time in there where you just watched Aaron Jones' head snap straight back because there was an obvious face masking. He didn't get tackled by it, but his head snaps all the way back. No call, just no call. And no Lions fan is like, oh man, finally we got one. No, because they never notice it when it happens to them, because that's the nature of fandom.
Well, that's what they have, too. I mean, they have to have something, because they have nothing.
and it's totally a fan's privilege to be upset with the refs, okay? Like, you and I on this show have been upset with the refs. We got upset with the refs, and I was very verbally upset with the refs at the Northwestern game. But I prefaced everything that I said that week as the Badgers didn't deserve to win. It doesn't matter what the refs did. We turned the ball over five times. That's why you lost. The refs also were bad. But
right, the refs didn't take the Lions out of the game. In fact, the refs actually helped them along a couple times. Like they benefited. It would have been worse if the refs wouldn't have kept a couple drives alive for the Lions on a couple sketchy calls that could have gone either way. You know, it's not, I'm not saying that the Packers were perfect in any way, shape, or form, but there was a couple that were like, and the thing is, I always like, as we always talk about, I always listen to Larry McCarron for play-by-play, Wayne Larrabee and Larry McCarron. And Larry McCarron will tell you whether or not it was a penalty. With 100% on, he's a biased color guy because he's the Packers color guy, but he'll always say whether or not it was a real penalty or not. Like, he'll give you the, yeah, that was definitely a penalty. Eh, that was a penalty. That wasn't a penalty. Oh, what were the refs looking at? Those are the five stages of Larry McCarron. You know,
are they like, either, I think we got away with one there. You know,
oh yeah, too, yeah. Even say that too. Like, oh, there were some, just watch Bakhtiari take a guy down to the ground with him. Got away on that one. But hey, who's you can call holding on every play, right?
Yeah. So that's the first thing I want to get out there. The next couple things I want to go over is, first off, MVS had a phenomenal day. In terms of him, he looked kind of what you want. He had six catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown. And that touchdown catch, that was beautiful. That was like a Jordy Nelson type of catch, the sort of thing you love seeing somebody go out there and make a catch that he should not have made.
That was a Greg Jennings back shoulder catch.
And
it was kind of with a high degree of difficulty too.
He had to almost go through the defenders to kind of get his hands into that spot, and he did it. And he held on, and that's he has shown growth over the back half of this season. He definitely had a lot of plays in the first half that really bugged you. By you, I mean, you know, all of you, all of us. You know, right.
I always say too, you know, I have to remind everybody that a lot of Packers fans thought Ty Montgomery was the better receiver option and that Davante Adams was needed to go. He was a waste of a second round draft pick because he had a bad case of the dropsies when he was young. And he did. He was stone hands. His second season. Oh, it was bad. He had what? Almost 20 drops or something like that. It was just brutal.
Yeah.
So, look what's turned into him. He's one of the most unstoppable wide receivers in the NFL. He makes things happen on the field. I mean, his touchdown yesterday, he and about three other, him and Tyreek Hill and Hopkins can turn that into a touchdown.
Yes, and Adams isn't particularly that fast, but he made such a good move. He got himself into just wide open space for running by
Shifterton. He has got great body control. And you're right, he's not the fastest wide receiver in the league. No. And neither is Hopkins. Hill is stupid fast. But
yeah, that's one trick.
Yeah, he is fast. But anyways, Hopkins isn't fast either. But you know, there's a lot of similarities between Hopkins and Adams game too. Like, but their body control is amazing and their hair is the same.
Okay.
So, but I wanted to bring this up before we move on to Davante Adams, PackersHistory.com. And this kind of says this I want everyone to kind of pay attention to, because I've been down on MVS as much as anybody, like when he has like a three drop game and they're just balls when he's just wide open across the middle. And if he just catches it, he's gone because he's so fast and it's frustrating to watch. But after 45 NFL games, Jordy Nelson had 100 receptions, 1,268 yards, and six touchdowns. After 45 games, MVS has 95 receptions, so five less, 1,600 yards, 1,636, which is almost 400 more yards, and nine TDs.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, Nelson had 30 TDs in his next 45 games. And basically, and you got to remember, MVS was in that draft. He was the fifth round pick because they had
third, fourth, fifth, because we Equanimeous and him. And I'm forgetting his name right now, but the guy out of Mizzou who completely failed out of that class and ended up never being anything.
It was the third round pick, though, right?
Yeah.
And then St. Brown was four and MVS was five, right?
Yep. Out of Southern Florida, or South Florida.
So, So MVS had the most development too. Yeah. Now, maybe, you know, the way he flashes sometimes, like, I don't know, man. Like,
for being what he should be is, you know, at this point, you look at him as saying he's your fourth receiver or something like that, because Equanimeous has looked pretty decent here. Lazard, good yesterday too. Man, yeah. Lazard just, I don't know if they were just spending a lot of time on him. Lazard only had 3 targets. Equanimeous was 1 for 1 on his targets. But yeah, MVS, 6 of 6, caught 6 of his targets, all 6. And he looked very good. He was finding open spots. He was finding ways to make sure he was in it and available to his quarterback. And it was great. Yeah. And the point you made earlier, I had written that down as one of my notes. Thinking back to just like 5 years ago or 4 years ago, wherever, you're like, the number of people are like, we got to get rid of Adams. I took a lot of crap from a lot of people around here saying, like, no, Adams
a lot of crap from me.
I was like, Adams is fine. He's having one bad year. He's going to pop back and he'll be fine next year. And people are like, no, he's garbage. Cut him. And the same thing about Mason Crosby. The number of people who are like, you have to cut Mason Crosby because, man, he can't do it. He just can't do it. And I was like, he's fine. His numbers were skewed a couple.
That one game in Detroit.
Yeah. Well, it was a couple years before that where he actually had a year that looked worse than it was because his numbers were skewed because the Packers were the best red zone offense in football. He was never kicking closer than 40 yards. He had no 30-yard field goals. He was kicking a ton of 50-yarders. He kicked more 50-yarders than any other player in the league that year, and that killed his average. And so, yeah, that's look at them now and what they were able to do to help this team this week and hit the 58-yard field goal that was good from 64. You know, like that was a great kick. Devontae is one of the, I mean, if he's not the best wide receiver in football, he has to be in your conversation. So yeah.
Right. Well, and it's just those things too. It's like, there's enough differences between these players. Like I said, how do you compare him to Tyreek Hill? Because they're two different wide receivers. Yeah. Tyreek Hill's entire game, he's short but can run a 4.240. You know, like that guy has a vapor trail behind him and has to use his arm to balance himself when he makes hard enough cuts.
Yeah.
You know that thing where that's where he like moves his arm so he doesn't keep him from falling down. Like, and DeAndre Hopkins, you know, his game is a little bit more vertical than Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is actually, he's one of the thinner wide. Him and Will Fuller are built very similarly, you know? Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of part of the problem. The reason why Adams gets hurt as much as he does is because he's not as big. But his ability to, I mean, he's not that big, but on Rodgers' 400th touchdown pass last week, he caught it at the 10 and willed his way into the end zone. Yeah. He took Darius Slay and pushed him into the end zone. Like, he's a threat to score on every play, no matter where he's at on the field, just because of the way he can move, you know? So
I agree, yeah. But,
hey, before we get off of it, I didn't get enough as much traction as I wanted to on this one, but, man, Mason Crosby looks like Peter Dinklage.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that at least, I guess.
He really does. I put that out in a couple tweets, and, like, nobody bit, and I'm like, come on. I'm for real here. Like, their faces look exactly the same. Anyway, nice. Also underrated people who didn't have a lot of gusto coming into the league, bouncing off MVS. Tonyan.
Big Bub Tonyan.
He's not even there yet. There's such a long uphill battle for him to get to where his top potential is. His ceiling is, he's nowhere near his ceiling yet. He's still raw.
Yeah.
Coming out of Indiana State, like, he's what, year 3 now? I mean, he might not be, you know, at full beast mode until year 5. And yeah, see, he's catching every other touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. One of the other things I want to bring up is just, man, I don't know. We've talked about this off and on, you and I, several times over the years, but Matthew Stafford, I keep hearing them on the thing that, you know, the broadcast keeps talking about, like, this is going to be so great because this is 2 great shortstops and they can this and that. I was like, Matthew Stafford's just not in Aaron Rodgers' league. And no. It's not close. It's not in any way close.
He's got the physical skills the same. He's got as good a physical skills as Aaron Rodgers does. He's just not as good a quarterback.
He doesn't have the zip on the ball. He can get the ball deep, but it's got a lot of air under it because he's got to really loft it. He doesn't have the touch Rodgers has. His accuracy is just it is not as good. The number of times where a couple plays yesterday were just he just threw the ball with a clean pocket and a wide open receiver and missed him by 10 yards. And just like
but you gotta remember too though, he's got that thumb issue going on right now too. So there's a couple that sailed on him, and I was like, I mean, I know he's prone to an errant pass or two, but I think a couple of those that were just really, there was one that was really bad, like almost 15 yards off, and his thumb was taped up. And if you can't grip that ball well enough, I mean, if you're making up,
My big thing with Stafford is he's a good quarterback. He's a top half of the NFL type quarterback.
Yep.
All right. You say like he belongs in the league. He starts for most teams in the league, but I don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
No.
It's because, I mean, like, you're like, well, look at his numbers. You're like, in an era where everybody puts up numbers like that, though, like, his numbers are great, but in an era where everybody put up numbers, and his numbers are better than some people in terms of just sheer raw numbers, because his team's always losing.
Right.
And
they don't have to run the ball. Yeah.
I got so mad. Like, somebody was saying something about, like, you know, think of how great he'd be if he'd ever had weapons. You're like, yeah, imagine if he had a top five defense and Calvin Johnson. He had that, and that team didn't make the playoffs.
This running back went. He had a good running back during that time for a little bit too.
Not great, but he had some okay guys around him at that time. He had like, what's that guy? It was like out of Eastern Michigan. I can't think of his name right now. He was there for a couple of years. They had a couple other guys, just kind of rotational type of running backs in that area, but. No one great, but they had, you know, they had a couple guys, and they had the best receiver in football at the time.
He had Calvin Johnson. They had Megatron.
Yeah.
Megatron retired early because of the dysfunction of that organization.
And also how much Matthew Stafford never led him away from contact, always led him into it.
Yeah.
Led him high, made him jump up for everything, made him lead him into linebackers. The amount of injuries he suffered because Matthew Stafford didn't have the touch or that second level part of leading a guy to safety that you see guys like Mahomes have or Rodgers have or Brady, you know, Brady putting a guy, you know, taking a Wes Welker to the ground on a short pass. That's already a first down, but he knows Wes Welker's little.
I know. I just always figured that he was underthrowing Wes Welker and he was just getting it off the ground. But yeah.
You know, like those are the next level thing. I think like Stafford's a nice quarterback. And to be fair, the wins and losses thing, that's not entirely on him. That's
Phil
a team
Rivers,
thing.
Man. Him and Phil Rivers are the same dude.
Yeah, very much so.
They're very likable. They're good. They're fair to Midland, above average leaders.
Yeah.
They both have good athletic ability. They have huge numbers. But I mean, Philip Rivers had, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah. Yeah, for quite a long time there, and Antonio Gates and a bunch of other things. Yeah, and Keenan Allen.
Who's the receiver they have now that's still in San Diego?
Keenan Allen.
I mean,
Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, Los Angeles Chargers. That's the hardest one. So for some reason, when the Rams moved back to LA, that was easy because they'd been there before. When the Raiders moved to Vegas, that's been an easy one. But for some reason, we just can't say Los Angeles Chargers because it just doesn't sound right. We all want to say San Diego Chargers. It's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And they should go back to San Diego, to be perfectly honest. But
they really should. I was looking at his Stafford's overall numbers. He's got 44,000 yards passing. He has 278 touchdowns and 143 interceptions. And that's in... Jesus, in 10 years now? No, he's been in the league for... This is his 14th... No, I'm sorry, that's game 14. I'm looking at the wrong spot here. So he's played... 2, 3, 4...
He was drafted in 07, right? That was the last year that they could... Was it him or Bradford was the last quarterback to have the big contract coming out of college before they had the...
He was in the 09 was his first year.
09 was his first year.
So yeah, he's played...
He's only been starting for 1 year less than Aaron Rodgers.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, like,
Because Rodgers first started in 08 when Favre left. Now,
yep.
Rodgers came out in 05, right? 05. But then sat for 3 years. Yep. 05, 06, 07, started 08. 09, lost the Cardinals in the playoffs and then won the Super Bowl the next year in 10.
Yeah. Yes,
that's good math. Thank you.
Okay. Stafford has only thrown over 30 touchdowns twice. He had 41 that year, the 2011 season, where I think they set the record for receiving yards for Calvin Johnson, because he had 5,000 yards passing that year, 41 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. He hit 32 one other time. Other than that, he has only had those two seasons where wow. He's had 30 touchdowns. He's had some injuries here and there. He's actually very healthy for most of his career. Last year, he missed half the season, and he's played every game this year.
That came up this year, quarterbacks that have had – hold on. Let me get it out. It's right here. on the converse of that.
Okay.
Give me one second. I got to find it real quick.
Are you looking for guys who have had more
injury? No, most 40-plus total – touchdown seasons in NFL history.
I think it's
Aaron Rodgers, five.
Five. And I think Drew Brees is three.
It'll be six now because you figure he's gonna get one more touchdown pass at some point this year.
Knock on wood.
Brees has three.
Okay. That was a
Brady, Favre, Manning, Marino, and Young have two.
Two. Okay, yeah. And so Marino's is better
because three season lead on Brees, who's probably done this year or next year. After that hit he took earlier this year, I think he might consider retirement at the end of this year. That was brutal. Oh my God. That was the hardest I've ever seen a quarterback get hit, just like flat out smashed.
Yeah.
I mean, Theismann got his leg broke, but that's because he got twisted up.
Yeah, that's different. Brees got
smashed. Yeah. Like, just destroyed. Yeah. I mean, we're the same age. I couldn't imagine how that feels.
Yeah. Stafford has led the league twice in attempts and never in yardage and never in touchdowns. He's led the league in completions one time, but that's because he threw the ball 727 times that season. Completed 59.8% of his passes for just under 5,000 yards. 20 touchdowns, 17 picks, 727 pass attempts.
He only had 20 touchdowns in all those 700 attempts.
Yeah, and I mean that team.
That's some Elway in like 1986 stats right there.
Right. So yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Refs had something to do with it back
then. That was okay.
Yeah, referees were throwing picks.
That's not a rip on Elway at all. No, but
he's Elway's overrated.
Elway used to throw a lot.
So, yeah. Wow. They were behind
him. He is not overrated.
Is he top five quarterback for you?
He's rated. He's not underrated. He's rated.
There was a period about 10, 15 years ago where they said he was the greatest quarterback ever. And that has never been true. When he retired, he was not the best quarterback ever.
No.
It was massively overrated. He's not a top 10 quarterback. No. He's just not.
It depends upon who you talk to. Anybody in Colorado, of course, that's a completely different conversation for another day.
He's like a career 87 rating or something like that.
Right. But I mean, he played in a different era too. And let's not go down the Elway road. He broke my heart in high school. What was that, junior year, 97, winter 97. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, he can go jump off a log for all I care for that. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I'll defend Elway. Like, he wasn't, I mean, he was doing things with the Broncos in the 80s that it's a different era. I mean, he came into the league and had like a less than 50% completion.
Yeah. He completed 47.5 his first year. And only twice completed more than 60% of his passes. He ended completing only 56.9% of his passes.
He was like a bad version of Steve Young, but I mean, he had a big arm and he was athletic and he made a team relevant in a city that was in the middle of nowhere, you know? Well, so
I was wrong on his career rating. It's 79.9. Here's the other context I want to give everybody, because a lot of people maybe don't remember this. The AFC was the most little sistered conference ever. The AFC in like the 80s when Elway played was terrible. They had no chance of ever going anywhere. He played against some of the worst competition you've ever seen. It was like the NFC East all over the place. I mean, his conference was bad. His division was bad. He put up, average numbers against sub-average competition. He wasn't playing what the Giants at that time were going through, where you had Phil Simms playing against, Buddy Ryan defense, playing against the Cowboys teams of the 90s and all these other things. And John Elway was playing, a very good Browns team. An Oilers team that played no defense. They had a great offense, but they had no defense. And then, a Bills team that was very good. A very, very good Bills team. But
Who was that the other day I heard talking about Warren Moon?
They're
talking about how Warren Moon was the first half of his career when he would have been tearing it up in the NFL. He was in Canada.
Yeah, he had to play with Edmonton for quite a while there. So, yeah.
Right. He's in both Hall of Fames.
Oh, cool.
He's in Canada's and the NFL's Hall of Fame. But yeah, apparently, who was it? It was an older school player, and they asked who was, because Dan Patrick was asking who did the most unbelievable play you have ever seen, and they were talking about Warren Moon, and just how unbelievable he was.
Not Frank Reich?
Yeah, not
worst day in Houston Oilers history. No, anyways. Elway led the league in passing one time. So there you go. Did have 300 touchdowns.
So one more time than Matthew Stafford is what you say.
That is correct. One more time than Stafford. 300 touchdowns, 226 picks. You're right. Picks weren't as big a deal at that era as they are now. It's a little different.
Joe Namath had more lifetime interceptions than he did he did touchdown passes.
Yeah, I mean, that's why when you look at Unitas' numbers in that regard, it's crazy because they were not people threw the ball and were less concerned about they didn't like the turnovers. But it's not like today's game. Especially since you could maul receivers.
Look at Bart Starr's number some days. Yeah.
When you could grab a receiver and throw him down if the ball was in the air, it didn't matter. There was not passers. You could do whatever you wanted. So it was a very different game.
Unitas' numbers were crazy. And that came up during the broadcast the other day about how good Don Hudson must have been.
Oh, yeah. It was incredible. By the way, they're still breaking his records now as Adams gets past him for most consecutive games with a touchdown reception, breaking the team record of Don Hudson. How great was he? They're still breaking his records 70 years later. 80, almost 80. Yeah, because they were... Yeah. It's crazy how great he was. Looking ahead to next week.
My God, we're all over the board today.
I know. Warren, trying to just keep us going to next week.
Warren Moon made it into this podcast.
I love you, Warren Moon. You are underrated, my man.
NFL Man of the Year.
We just got to play the worst defense in football, according to DVOA, and looked very good doing so. We could have looked better for... I guess playing a road game and stuff like that, that's fine, but still. So the other thing now is that we're looking going ahead here. We're going to be playing Carolina this next week. Carolina right now is 25th in DVOA defense. That puts them right behind New England, Seattle, and Las Vegas. So that's not particularly good. Green Bay hanging out there actually in 20th. So we have a better defense than the team we're going to go play. And also... Yeah,
it's not the 96 defense though.
So, no, nothing is.
No, well, we're number two in offense in the league, right?
And, correct.
You know, let's not be remiss and not point out the fact that number one NFC North champions. I mean, I know we just brush over top of it because we're just used to it and we assume that's what's going to happen. Number two, Aaron Rodgers was pretty unbelievable yesterday when he wasn't throwing up. Weird thing about Aaron Rodgers this year and last year too, just like the odd 3-0s, like when they're having a hot game and like just the series before, like it was boom, 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 score, and then 3-0 for no reason. But in between a couple of those 3-0s and then the 3-0 coming out in the second half, that was really weird. But otherwise, Aaron Rodgers was looking unbelievable yesterday. The dude can still run, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, just the one thing is I wish they were slightly better at the killer instinct than what they've been this year. So, but that's really the only major thing I'd like to see more of. When you look at the DVOA numbers here,
it's like they're still figuring it out. And I think against Carolina, like maybe it's going to take a couple junk defenses 2 weeks in a row to figure this out.
Yeah, we'll see. We've had a chance here, but I'm looking at the Packers offense here in the DVOA as well. And when you get the regular total DVOA, the percentage here, so it's like the Chiefs are 30.9, the Packers are 28.3.
Mm-hmm.
The next drop down from the Green Bay to Tennessee, who we'll see in another week from here, is 21.5. So we're less than 2 points away. Well, I'm sorry. We're 2.6 points away. I'll get better at my math as I go. But then it's nearly 7 points. It is 6.8 points all the way down to Tennessee. The drop after that to number four, which is the Los Angeles Rams, they're down at 12.8%.
My God.
So it's like there are three really great offenses in this league and then several teams who are moving around. It's 1-2-3. By the way, last week these were 1-2-3. In past DVOA, 1-2-3. In run, 10-7-3. So, man, Tennessee is 3 in both rush and pass DVOA. It's just phenomenal.
Imagine that. The Packers and the Chiefs are number one in both divisions. They're the number one seed right now. And
currently.
And Tennessee had one really big game against, where was that they ran up 45 points? In an overtime game.
Oh, in overtime? I didn't. I'm not thinking.
No, right at the end. Henry had a huge game. Yeah, and Tennessee.
Oh yeah.
Tennessee had like a really bad three-game stretch. Like, yeah, Baltimore. Tennessee had a really bad three-game stretch there, like mid-season. That was. I mean, I thought Tennessee would be a lot better this year. They're still figuring things out too. Tannehill's only in his second year there, so that makes sense. And Derrick Henry is ridiculous. Like. Tennessee is for real too. Like Tennessee's better than their record, and Tennessee. I mean, they got to the AFC Championship game last year and lost to the Chiefs in exciting fashion, and shouldn't have. But so I mean, this doesn't surprise me. Like Tennessee's offense is
they're very good offense, and Tannehill's underrated.
Tannehill's not a world burner like Mahomes or Rodgers, but you don't have to when you can just turn around and give it to the.
He's good, though. He is a good quarterback. He's not great.
He's a good quarterback, which also proves that Adam Gase is the worst coach of all time. But it leads more into that. Besides the fact that he's 0-13 right now with the Jets, he had this guy named Tannehill done in Miami and couldn't figure out how to use him. He goes to Tennessee. And, yeah, he's turned into a good quarterback. He is. And he's got a good wide receiver in A.J. Brown. And, it doesn't hurt when you can turn around and give it to Henry, who just – this is Henry's time of the year, too. Like he's going to have a couple 200 yard games here. You can feel it. Like that dude is unreal. He's for you kids out there that don't remember Steven Alexander when he played for the Seahawks, this is kind of what he was like.
Sean Alexander.
Yeah. I got Steven Jackson and Sean Alexander.
No, I'm getting used to it. It's like the third week we've had to do that. He was like that too.
Henry's a beast, man. Like every time you think like the show's over with him, he'll just go and bust out another 170 yard game and nobody can touch him. People don't want to tackle him. I wouldn't want to tackle him.
The only way to beat them is to get ahead by a lot and make them have to throw. I mean, that's the only way you're going to do it. If you stay close, he's always a weapon. He can score in any given play. And we'll talk more about that next week as we get ready for the Titans coming forward here. But, Packers win. Packers win the division. Lions drop to 5-8. They're on the periphery because there's an extra – seriously, because there's the extra wild card this year, the Vikings and Bears are still in it. And, there's a team right now – are they – I'm forgetting exactly, but the Cardinals are in it, and the Vikings are a game back at 6-7. And the Bears 6-7. They're just barely not in.
Well, and of course, the entire NFC East is still up for grabs.
Yeah, and
I think all four teams, since the Giants lost, and the Eagles won. I think that's
an entire division that's terrible. One of them gets in because they just have to let one of them in. But I mean, like for the wild card, the jump between that third wild card and the second wild card that we would normally expect is like a 2-game jump. It goes from being a good team to being like a 500 team, basically. Okay. It's a huge jump this year for that one spot. If it wasn't there, the Vikings would be eliminated basically almost already.
Right. So they'd be done. Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are in the seventh spot and they have a game and a half lead on them now.
Yeah. So at this point, last week, let's see, I had picked a 35-17 and Aaron had picked a 29-11. Neither of us were that close this week.
I was close on the Packers score.
Well, that was your score. You had 29-11 and it was 31-24. The late push by the Lions getting 10.
Well, it was looking really good for a little bit there for my score.
Yeah.
But
either way. So this week I see them getting more points against this team here and being able to try to, I don't know if they'll score more than 30. Well, I think they'll get 30 ish. I think it's going to be something like a weird score, like 32 to we'll say 18. I'm going for an Aaron type number here.
at least use numbers that are attainable. That's 6 field goals for Carolina, if that's right.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen, but it'll be.
Yeah, no, it's weird because with Carolina, you expect Carolina defense. Like they're one of those defensive niche teams, like the Bears. Like you always just assume they're going to have a good defense. Yeah, well, Kuechly had to retire.
Yeah,
Riverboat Ron is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, bless his heart for getting that together in Washington. Literally, the man overcame cancer and he's got Alex Smith.
Yeah, just coming back from, he's almost certainly the comeback player of the year at this point. And it's been great to have, Rivera there to try to at least get that
turnaround. And having to do the whole name thing. What's that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're on with that. That's being called the football team for a whole year.
And then the name change too. Having to dump the Redskins moniker and all this other crap that they've had to deal with and worst owner in football, like dealing with, like, as far as just bad PR, Riverboat Ron, like I'm full on board with so my AFC team, the Bills are doing good now. And so like my other NFC team is
going to have to give you a score, Aaron. We're going way long here.
I think that the Packers are going to put up 38, and I think because they're a good running team, let's do 38 is not a good number. 37-22 Packers win.
Okay. All right. Now we'll get ourselves off Packers talk for a little bit here, and we'll move on to the Cardinal and White, talking Badgers for just a little bit.
I was avoiding it.
Yeah, bad game this week. They go down to Kinnick, even without the fans there. They get to wave to the kids in the hospital, which is fantastic, and that was the only fantastic thing that happened for them. That's
tradition in football.
It was a bad game. We talked about this. I said this could be a game where, the defense is going to have to hold things down, and it's one of those games that could just end up being 3-0. But yeah, this was, and I think I said, Iowa win 3-0 because they look way better. They've won what, 5 straight now, 6 straight, I think now. They had a rough start in Iowa and they won a whole bunch in a row here and they've looked pretty decent. They had an 80-yard run and like a 55-yard pass to really turn a 14-7 game into the 28-7 you saw at the end. Badger defense did a lot out there. They're running a lot of things and getting a lot. They have a lot of good players out there making a lot of good plays, and they're well coached and they're disciplined. They don't get the turnovers though at this point. We weren't able to get anything big out of this game. Iowa had an interception. Wisconsin, no interceptions. I don't think we had any fumble recoveries here either. I don't see, but I mean, like, there were 2 sacks for Wisconsin in this game. I don't know. We're getting stuff out of the defense, but nothing huge at this point. The biggest thing that I want to talk about, though, is that this team is relying on a ton of young players. We've got Nick Herbig, true freshman from Hawaii, whereas the greatest one of the great jokes on this team is like, only Wisconsin could go to Hawaii on a recruiting trip and come back with a guy named Nick Herbig.
Dang, yes. The most Wisconsin name. Or he played first base for the Twins, one of the two.
So, I mean, yeah, just he's playing a ton of time, which is great because he looks good and he's going to be good. We're playing Graham Mertz in his very first year out there. He's 20 of 38, which is not fantastic. His QBR on this one I'm looking at now was 33.8.
Better than John Elway.
Yeah. Jalen Berger, not available for the game. He had a late COVID positive. Couldn't play. Will likely not play next week. Shamiri Adike is taking up a lot of time. He's a true freshman receiver, and he's getting a lot of chance to play because number one, Danny Davis is out. Pryor is out, who's the number two. Losing a lot of receiving just experience by having to throw to that group there. Devin Chandler stepping in as well, getting some playing time. He's also a true freshman having to come in there. So Devin Chandler and DK having to come in and play. It's a very young team. We're also playing a freshman center out there. It's a really young team at this point in a lot of key positions due to a lot of injuries and a lot of things else going on. If we had Jack Cohn and we had Jalen Berger healthy as a true freshman is still fine. But I mean, like, if we still had Danny Davis and Pryor and Jack Cohn out there and the entire starting offensive line, this team would be doing a lot better for one thing. The other thing is missing three games in a couple different spots. You know, we went into Northwestern missing 2 weeks in a row. Aaron and I were talking about this beforehand. It's hard enough to have to play a game where you don't have the continuance of your team like you just would like to have. You don't get to go week to week to week, building. You have to break it up into these, like, oh, there's no game this week. Never mind, guys. And on top of that, you're doing that with a young team that really needs the time to grow.
Even if you have a senior-laden team, they're still kids. It's not like pro athletes that, you know, some of them are in their 30s, you know, and you have leadership and you can do this and you're getting paid a ton of money and have access to better things. These are college kids, you know, and so asking them to sit out 2 weeks and then we're going to virtually practice and blah, 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 blah. And then now we're going to jump back into a game. The Badgers have been massively disadvantaged and other teams have had to take weeks off too. With the Big Ten rules that they have for COVID quarantine and everything else involved, like the Badgers playing the first game looking really good and then having to go sit down for 2 weeks, how do you take anything from that first game, momentum, and move to the next one? And they go into Northwestern, who's played every single game up to that point, and they're ready to go, and your players are, it, John. Anyways.
Yeah. It's going to be rough going to the last one. The Big Ten did the right thing here in getting the Champions Week, whatever they're doing. They're going to play the Badgers against the Gophers for the Axe, which is the right thing to do. It's the best matchup you could have given. Nobody wants to see Wisconsin play Maryland more than they want to see Wisconsin-Minnesota be played. So they're going to get that right. It's going to be a weird game. Badgers are still obviously hurting in a lot of places. Berger will not be available. He'll still have to wait because it was such a late positive. We will also have to deal with
and line in Vegas was like before Iowa for the Wisconsin Minnesota game, which would have been played the week before Iowa, was Wisconsin by 21-22 before it got canceled, and now it's all the way down to 11 after they lost to Iowa, and then Minnesota somehow beat Nebraska, which just tells you how bad Nebraska is
not good.
With and I think Minnesota had 5 or 6 players. They were playing 8-man football in that game, I think. Well, and they somehow beat Nebraska. So, you're right. It's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, and Minnesota's still got several guys who are having problems with COVID as well, who are still trying to get back. And that defense they have is not good. So that could give us a little help because against bad defenses, Mertz has looked good and our teams have looked good. The thing is also that I don't think Minnesota has that great an offense. I think the Badgers' defense is going to be the big point in this game. it's going to mean that the Gophers just, it's not going to be who scores more points, it's who scores less. And I think the Badgers are not going to be the team who scores less. I think the Gophers end up scoring less. I think the Badgers win, but it's going to be a gross, ugly game.
Yeah, and so on the Power Trip Morning Show on KFAN in the Twin Cities, they have Tommy Olson on, who was a center for the Minnesota Gophers for a four-year starter back during the Kill era. And he talked about that, and he was talking about these games that are getting strung out for, like, the seniors. And, like, the seniors who aren't going to go on to the NFL, like, they check out at a certain point. Like, they're done. Like, they don't want to play anymore. And that is really hard.
Like, Bateman already did for Minnesota. He actually left.
Yeah, he left. And then, like, and that's what he was – and Tommy always talks about, like, bowl games. Like, how seniors have, like, an obvious – like, if you're playing in, like, the Motor City Bowl, like, the seniors, like, are not – they don't care. Like, they're done. Like, they're just there to represent their team at that point. But, like, they've not put any extra effort into this, because what does this do? Except the money is already in the bank for the team. So, and it's, you know, you wonder how much, you know, some of these seniors, because because Tommy was asked too about, like, how many of these seniors who will be granted another year of eligibility because of this will actually be back next year. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, it's a coin flip, 50-50. Because, like, some of these guys are just ready to be done. Like, they did their 4 years of football. They're not good enough for the NFL. Are they going to come back for another year? They might, just so they can have a full season with fans and some sort of normalcy. But he's like, I don't know, man. He's like, if I was in college and I just had a really cruddy five-game season, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'd come back next year, man. He's like, I'd probably be done. Like, I'm already checked out. Like, this was going to be my last year. I'm sick of the practices. I'm sick of the everything. I'm sick of the early wake-ups. I'm sick of, as an offensive lineman, eating five pizzas just so I can maintain my weight, you know, stuff like that, you know, like, so it'll be interesting to see how many people are actually engaged for this axe game. Like, maybe there will be, maybe they will be just for the axe alone.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting too, seeing who takes that extra year of eligibility, you know, like, Danny Davis and Pryor, you know, like, Davis and Pryor are two guys who are, like, they could have had a chance this year in being really featured with a good quarterback and had a chance and ended up being hurt most of the year and not being able to showcase themselves in a senior year. They're not particularly going to be high draft picks if drafted at this point. They might take a chance on themselves and say, if I come back next year healthy, I'm worth it. They might.
Well, yeah, because, you know, and the fear is always that you're going to get injured, but, I mean,
you were already injured.
Being an undrafted free agent, or maybe not even undrafted free agent, and you're going to have to work your way through that, or you come back for one more year of college just for the chance to be a sixth or seventh round draft pick. That seems like maybe worth it, you know, for some of those people. But I mean, for those who are on the fringe that are like, you know, Tommy Olson admitted he was graded out to be a third to fifth round draft pick in the NFL, and he chose not to go on to the NFL because he was done with football.
All right.
He was sick of the practices and stuff like that. But, like, as far as we go with, like, the axe in this year and, like, whether or not they come back next year, it's like, I wonder how many people are actually going to be invested in next week's game. Like,
I think the Badgers will, because I think they get to 500. Then maybe they go to a bowl game. I don't know. So I think they'll be more invested.
That is a good point, that 500 is a big deal. So,
yeah. All right. That's all we have for the big things. Everything else we are going to throw into this last little segment that we lovingly call Our Last Call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for The Last Call.
All right, Aaron, last call. A couple things here. The Brewers have announced the teams that will be in their minor leagues. I think they're roughly finishing up all the contracts with them. Some of them need to get, I guess, the okay for Major League Baseball to stay as minor league organizations and such. But it's going to be the Nashville Sounds, the Biloxi Shuckers, the Carolina Mudcats, and, of course, the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. That gives the Brewers some of the best hats in the minor leagues. The Carolina Mudcats is classic. Biloxi Shuckers is such a great name.
Once this is all done, can we go catch a Shuckers game?
That sounds awesome. Go to Biloxi?
I don't want to go to Biloxi, but I want to go to a Shuckers game.
I do, too. We'll get jerseys. We'll go crazy. Hit downtown Biloxi.
Maybe not this summer because some of our kids are still too young, but maybe in the future we could do a family road trip and catch, like, an entire brewer's farm system.
Oh, that'd be fabulous.
No trip. We could do it in like 5 days.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just wait till our kids are gone, maybe. We'll just be old. Just be you and me. And our wives can hang out somewhere cool. They might not be the shuckers. Yeah, that's true. In terms of other things here, buck season's going to get started here very soon. So they're playing their couple preseason games. We got to see the team together. The hilarious things I've seen on Twitter is that Coach Bud is now playing the starters longer in the preseason than he played them in any playoff game.
Yes. So and they did win against, or they lost to the Mavericks the other day in a preseason game. There's a lot of speculation out there as to what's going down, and maybe Giannis is weighing out like because he has until the 21st to sign his Supermax contract. And if he doesn't, he'll be the first player in NBA history not to sign a Supermax contract because of the dollar amounts. But apparently there is some talk. They lost 128 to 112 against the Mavericks, which it doesn't matter because preseason, nobody cares about preseason in any sport. Giannis had 24. Jrue Holiday, there's a lot of talk about how having Jrue Holiday around will bring around some toughness that hadn't been on the team before. And also good reports about Bobby Portis, who they brought in. It looks good. Of course, the Bucks open up next weekend against
Celtics.
They play one more game against the Pelicans preseason, and then they open up against the Bucks on the 23rd. Against the Celtics on the 23rd.
And then they get Golden State on Christmas.
Christmas Day.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
They've got the good time slot, too. They didn't get stuck at 11 o'clock in the morning this year.
Yeah. So moving on, other things, basketball, men's basketball. Badgers bounced back, beat Rhode Island. Basically, they were in charge most of the way. There was a period from about 10 minutes left in the second half until 5 minutes left in the second half where Rhode Island got on a pretty good run. They had a five-minute run, got it down to like a nine-point game. Then I believe it was Aleem Ford came out, hit a three, put him back up into double digits. They held on and continued. They won it by double digits. Good game. It's a decent kind of mid-tier opponent. Rhode Island's had some good teams. They're well coached, but it's not Big Ten basketball yet. It just isn't. So good bounce back win there. Marquette
What's Rhode Island's mascot's name?
The Rams. I don't know if they have a name, like he's Rhodey the Ram or something like that.
Right, exactly.
I made that up. We'll have to look that up. Yeah. I don't know. Marquette followed up beating Wisconsin by going out and beating UW Green Bay, who now loses to everybody. All the big schools. They'll probably do fine in the Horizon League. I always want to call it the Verizon League because I'm sure they've been bought out at some point. But Horizon League is like so far to the horizon. But then they followed that up by losing to UCLA. They're now 4-2 on the year. So, let's take it for what it is there, Marquette. They've got some good scoring. They got some toughness underneath, but they're going to be a little up and down this year just in terms of that. They don't have that singular scoring presence or, I guess, the top-end talent that some of these other schools are going to have. But they're well coached, and they've got good talent. They look like they're a type of team who can hang around and make a tournament. Maybe we'll see how they do in the Big East play. They're playing and they just beat now. You know, this is why they say they're up and down. Like they beat a number 4 Wisconsin. Then they lose to UCLA. Now they came back today and they beat number 9 Creighton. Good games here. Let's see, 20 points for DJ Carton. McEwen had 18. Garcia gets 14. John and Kane working alone underneath, they don't get generally giant points, but 7 points for John and 5 for Kane as well. A lot of good bench points. Lewis and Elliott come off the bench, each give double-digit scoring points in the game. 89-84, Golden Eagles beat the Blue Jays. Eagles should beat up on Blue Jays, I guess. That's just my general feeling, but it doesn't always work that way.
They are much larger birds.
Yes, and they are.
True story. I did not know Creighton was in Omaha until I was had to go out to Omaha for a month for work.
Big East basketball, Milwaukee and Omaha in some Big East basketball.
Yeah, and not only that, but College World Series too. I mean,
oh yeah,
Creighton's big baseball school too. Yeah. So,
Big Ten changed the rules to allow
the short one. By the way, out to Omaha. Yeah,
Omaha is a wonderful town. It's a really cool city. It's Lincoln is also fantastic. They're very close to each other, but they're both fantastic.
Hour apart. Omaha is a great city, by the way. Yeah. I fell in love with their downtown. And where the baseball stadium is for the where they have the College World Series is that's a great little locale down there.
It is a really cool place. I really like Omaha.
And it's worth more than your city is.
Yeah, whatever. Big Ten allows Ohio State to get in with 5 games. It's probably the right call, but I mean, like, you know, you start the season with one thing and then you change it partway through, and I guess whatever. I don't particularly care either way. People who are really mad, you know what? Then you should have beaten Ohio State. You know, IU, you aren't better than them. You're hoping to just kind of sneak past them. If they had, I would have been fine with that because that was the rule you started the season with. You know, that's just how it worked. These are the two best teams, though, right now. I mean, Northwestern did everything they needed to do to win the West. They had the best season. They just did. I really think if the Badgers had a couple things go their way, they really should have beaten Northwestern. I think they're the more talented team, but they didn't. They didn't do it. Northwestern goes in. They can't be favored because with how badly Wisconsin's played since then and how they lost to Michigan State so awkwardly right after that, Ohio State's just a better team. And they've been in this stage before. They're the better team. They're going to win. The only other thing I'll say is
I just want to say, too, that I'm actually happy with the Big Ten because after such a hardline approach coming in and being seemingly unflexible – to everything around how the season was going to be and having an eight game season with no bye weeks built in or any like ability to like make up games at all. Like the Big Ten really cornered themselves hard. Like it was like, and then all of a sudden it was like, nope, you know, and nothing's going to happen after, which would have been last week. And we're going to have championship week and that's it. And I understand that if Ohio State doesn't, because they said you have to play 6 games or you can't be in the championship game. I understand that Ohio, if it's not Ohio State, I don't know if it gets pushed as hard, but I think that the Big Ten having the flexibility to do that. And then who are the other teams besides Wisconsin and Minnesota that are playing this week?
Everybody. The Champions Week, everybody plays. This was always the plan. It was going to be 8 games with the 9th built in that they would set up after the last week of the season. So yeah, everybody in the Big Ten is playing a game this week, except for maybe if there was a COVID issue.
But the schedule was different, though, before this, right? I forget.
The plan has always been that there would be an 8-week season followed by a championship game where every other team in the Big Ten would also play a 9th game against, they were hoping to do, cross-divisional opponents.
That's what it was.
But
okay, thank you.
They gave themselves flexibility, so yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the flexibility only for the streak of Wisconsin versus Minnesota. It's going to be a shell of a game that should be, but it's one of the things the Big Ten has going for it is the longest running rivalry in college football, and they were smart to make that happen. Yep. So
yeah,
and Ohio State's on a chance at a national champion. So
yeah, I mean, you got it. That's the thing is it's not just for the conference to look better, but the fact is you got one school in this entire conference right now that's still only running for national championship. Don't steal it from them by just staying too rigid. Give those kids a chance to play for a title. Give them a chance. If they've got the ability to do it, they'll beat Northwestern and they'll get in. Because 2-3 this week as Clemson plays Notre Dame for the ACC championship. And you know,
so weird.
Gonna make fun of Creighton for being in the Big East, but Notre Dame has no business being in the ACC in any sport at all. Big Ten hockey, by the way. The one last thing I'll bring up here, since there was no Big Ten hockey for us this week because of COVID issues, Army-Navy game was this last week. Go Army. They beat Navy 15-0. And our annual reminder from Aaron and I, both telling you to remember that these aren't just college kids. These aren't just football players. In just a year or two or 3 or 4 or whatever, these young men are going to be the obnoxious, most arrogant, self-righteous officers in the entire Army and Navy and Marine Corps. They're going to be terrible people, and they're going to make a lot of people very angry. And
they're going to make bad decisions.
And they'll never admit how dumb they sound. I put that out on Twitter, and then I hashtagged OCS, hashtag ROTC, because Yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah,
definitely. But anyhow, thank you once
ring
again.
Knockers. Oh my God.
Ring knockers. They wear their ring and they'll tap it and they'll remind you that they went to a different university than you did. And that seems to matter to them.
They're in a different army than you are.
They really are. And they promote each other.
You and you don't matter because I went to a place in New York, on the banks of the Hudson River,
which is built by Tadeusz Kościuszko, who was the father of the army engineers and also a Polish soldier who came to fight in the Revolutionary War to help out Americans. So, by the way,
and without enlisted engineers to save West Point, it would have been taken over by the British as well. So thank you, DeFleury.
And also, Kazimierz Piłowski, father of the American cavalry. Poles kind of built the army. So anyhow, thank you again for joining us, everybody.
Those dirty, dirty Prussians.
Those Prussians, yes. Thank you again, everybody, for joining us for another wonderful week of Talking Packers. It's been a personally rough week here for myself. My grandmother passed away the other day, and it was leading into Sunday, and I kind of feel like as she was getting towards the end, she wanted to make sure she was able to go so she could finally watch. She needed to make sure she was ready to watch the Packers that day. She was going to hang on to make sure we all could say goodbye, but she was ready to go, and she got to watch the game with my grandpa and two uncles. So it's a wonderful 97 years with my grandmother, and it was hard to have a Packer game where I didn't have her somewhere out there that I knew she was as mad at them as I was. So thank you, everybody, for joining us.
It's sports, the only game you can see in heaven, man.
Yeah, sports are a thing that can make people mad as all get-go, but they bring us together in so many wonderful ways, and that's one thing that it always gave me. So thank you for joining us again, everybody. I don't want to leave you on a low note. This year is going to end at some point. And we're going to keep moving on, and we're going to keep bringing you more and more Wisconsin sports talk. Remember, whether you're on the town or on the go or safe at home on your couch, it is always on Wisconsin.
Only 11 shopping days till Christmas, but only 16 days until 2020 is over. Yeah.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.